Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many glad to be in the house of the Lord? Praise God. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Well, it's been a great weekend. It's been a full weekend around here. If you've been anywhere around Rhema, it's been a full weekend. And praise God, we had an awesome 50th graduation. Man, give it up for that. It was just an amazing, amazing service. Just the Lord was in it. It was just great. And man, and then we did a wedding rehearsal Friday before coming over for the graduation. And then Saturday, we married a couple from Rhema and got those young folks off on their way. And to do that, we had to adhere to certain laws, certain rules, and there are spiritual laws that you follow when you're doing a wedding, and there are natural laws. There are certain things that the state of Oklahoma requires to be done, certain signatures and so forth, and so we made sure we did all of that, and so that brings us to our message tonight, and this message really was inspired several months ago. I was at home and I was watching a video of Brother Hagin, and he was teaching about something that had happened yesteryear at Rhema Bible Training College in the early years of Rhema, earlier years of Rhema. A student had taken deathly ill, and Brother Hagin had gone to the hospital to pray for the student along with that student's pastor. Rhema Bible Church did not exist at that time, and that student was going to a local church here. And Brother Hagin went to the hospital to pray for the student, as did that student's local pastor here. And after praying in the spirit for that student, Brother Hagin mentions in the video that he heard the Holy Spirit tell him this: certain spiritual laws have been set in motion over a period of time and cannot be changed at this time. And Brother Hagin said in the video that he, Mom Hagin said to him, you should tell the other pastor who went to the hospital with you, tell the other pastor what the Lord told you while you were praying in the spirit with him, because Brother Hagin hadn't shared that. And so Brother Hagin told that pastor, and that pastor said, I got something similar in my spirit, that certain spiritual laws had been violated and couldn't be changed at that time. The pastor said, I had something like that similar that the Lord gave me. And so then later, as they prayed, but that student went home to be with the Lord. And so I was listening to Brother Hagin share, and he said that at the funeral, again, Mom Hagin prompted him and said, you should tell members of his family what the Lord told you. And so Brother Hagin mentioned that his brother, the student's brother, was there at the funeral, and he mentioned to the brother privately that the Lord had told him certain spiritual laws had been violated over time, could not be changed at this time. And the brother then said to Brother Hagin, I know exactly what that is. And Brother Hagin said, I tell me what it means, because I don't know, I didn't know what it meant. And the brother said, I know exactly what it means. Know exactly, it's not even a doubt. He said, my brother, now this is the deceased person, talking about the deceased person. He said, my brother said over, and I don't mean once or twice, but over and over and over and over and over again, from when he was a young man, he said over and over again, he said this phrase, I'll never live past 40. Yeah. And evidently he put certain spiritual laws in motion with his mouth and believing in his heart. And he was 39 when he went home to be with the Lord. Yeah. It's a sad but a serious story. And I played that back several times because that got my, you know, attention, because I think we need teaching like that in the body of Christ today. And I felt drawn then to prepare what has resulted in tonight's message, But the title of this message is Stop in the Name of the Law. Stop in the Name of the Law. We're going to talk about spiritual laws tonight. But we're going to talk about not overriding spiritual laws. We're going to talk about not going beyond certain spiritual laws. And let me just say, there are governmental laws, and we have lots of scriptural encouragement that we should follow laws that the government determines, and except unless there is a law that obviously violates God's plain law. If a law obviously violates God's plain law, then there should be some type of exception to that. But if we're not talking about that, then the scriptures encourages you and I to obey the laws of the land, to follow the laws. And so I want to begin tonight, and I don't know if they were able to get my pictures tonight, but I prepared some pictures, and they may not be available to be seen. But if so, if we could show number 7, if it's available, I don't know if that's even available to be seen. But if not, I'll tell you what it is. It's a picture. Yeah, okay, thank you. Can we thank all of our video people? They are the most amazing. If I could, I'd clap with my feet too, but then I'd fall over. I'd violate a certain law and I'd fall over. Okay, this, of course, is a cruise ship. That's the icon of the seas. That's right now the biggest cruise ship in the world. You know, every year or 2 years, they come out with a ship, and it's a little bit bigger. But right now, this is the largest cruise ship in the world. And Tony and I had the privilege of going out on that cruise ship. We had a fantastic time this past January. That ship is massive. Can I tell you this, that ship, you know, it is so huge, and when you think about the gross tonnage of the ship, first of all, that ship is 251,000 gross tons. Tons. 251,000 gross tons. It weighs 5 times more than the Titanic, by perspective. The icon of the seas, it's 1,196 feet long, and which means it's longer than the Eiffel Tower is high. And it has a maximum passenger capacity of 7,960 passengers. 7,960 passengers. We went out on the inaugural sailing, and there were over 7,000 people on board the ship. It was so massive, there weren't hardly lines anywhere. It was just amazing, the engineering, the design of it. Even the elevators had sophisticated electronic programming where certain elevators went to certain floors, and you went to a central keypad, pressed your floor, and the computer examined how many people were going within 3 floors of you and directs you all to that one elevator. There might be 10 elevators there, but you all go to the same elevator and you go right there. I mean, it's just really fantastic. But to get on it and to wonder, why isn't this thing just sinking to the bottom of the ocean? It's because there are certain natural laws. We're talking about natural and spiritual laws tonight, but there are certain natural laws that govern our world and our universe. And the law of buoyancy is one of those laws. And so the reason that ship did not sink at something that weighs 251,000 gross tons, it's because of the law of buoyancy. It's an upward force exerted by a liquid on an object immersed in it. That's known as buoyancy. When you immerse an object in water, then you can feel an upward force exerted on the object, which increases as you push the object deeper in the water. So it's the reason that it didn't sink. We experienced also on a hot air balloon ride, we experienced the result of buoyancy. There is a hot air balloon buoyancy. I have a picture of a hot air balloon. Show me that one of the hot air balloon. That one, that's okay. That's just before Tony and I got on this hot air balloon ride. And I had to talk my baby into getting on that. But we had the best time. I will say I was ready for it to come down. There's such little support. There's a rail about chest high, and there's just netting around you. There is a metal floor, but other than that, there's a couple of rails and some netting, so you see straight down. I mean, you feel the effects of it. And after being up there, I was happy when that thing landed. We had a great time. We took a lot of pictures. There's another picture of her and I up there. Show me the picture of her and I up there. That's up there, and I got about a half grin on my face because I was like, man, he kept going up and kept going up. We kept going up, and I was ready to come. I was ready to come down. But there is something known, talking about natural laws. Then there is also a law of buoyancy that affects hot air balloons. Hot air balloon buoyancy. So hot air balloons can float in the air thanks to what's known as hot air balloon buoyancy. And this is an upward force that the air exerts on them, and the balloon must weigh less than the air it displaces. They heat the air because hot air rises above the cold air. And so they say that if you're going to take the hot air balloon up, then, you'd have to have some 65,000 pounds of air, of hot air, to lift 1,000 pounds in weight. So, it's called hot air balloon buoyancy, and that's also a natural law. There are so many natural laws in our world. There is not just the law of buoyancy, there's what's known as the law of lift. And how many know that a plane or a bird, in order for them to fly, the wings have to produce enough lift to equal its weight? And most wings used in flight have a special shape that enhances what's called the law of lift. And that shape is needed to help generate that lift. The principle of lift in flight is often attributed to Daniel Bernoulli. He was a Swiss mathematician. And so, the law of lift, listen, you know the great thing about the law of lift? You don't have to know anything about it to benefit from it. Aren't you glad about that? I mean, I'm glad at home. I know very little about electricity, but I do know how to work a light switch. I know how to program Alexa and tell Alexa to tell Hazel to sweep the floor. Hazel's our little robot. Hazel's our little sweep robot sweeper. Her name is Hazel. And if your name is Hazel, no offense to you. I there was a show in the 60s and 70s, a very popular TV sitcom named Hazel, where this little maid was the wisecracking know-it-all. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you'd have to be old school to know that. But anyway, her name was Hazel. She was you don't have to know anything about electricity to know how to use a light switch. Aren't you glad about that? Because if we had to know about electricity before we could use a light switch, most of us would be in the dark. You don't have to know anything about the law of buoyancy in order to get on a boat or to float. Because if we did, very few of us would be able to do that. You don't have to know anything about the law of lift to get on a plane. Because if you did, very few of us would be able to do that. Okay, show me here pictures one. And then we'll see two and then three. We're talking about the law of lift. This is a natural law. And in simple terms, lift is the force that holds the airplane in the air. You know what that is up top? That's a peregrine falcon. And you know what's below it? It's a B-52 bomber that's been designed after that falcon. It looks just like it. It's stealth by radar, so you can't track it. But what they did is engineers took a bird that God created and designed the most sophisticated weaponry based on God's design, and the aerodynamics of that bird give it lift, and the aerodynamics of that plane give it lift. Show me the next one. That's when the falcon, that peregrine falcon, is diving for something. I saw one on TV the other day. It was diving at 80 miles an hour. And that B-52, when it dives, it looks just like that peregrine falcon. Show me one more. at the top there, that's the Falcon on top again, and that's the B-52 underneath it, just so you can see just how clever the engineers are. That's the one, the picture on the bottom is some obviously that are on the ground, but it reflects the law of lift. The law of lift is what enables those planes to stay in the air and to get in the air. So our world is governed by various laws, whether we know it or not. And then there's, of course, the law of gravity. Sir Isaac Newton's responsible or credited for discovering the law of gravity. It's the force that tries to pull two objects toward one another. And anything which has mass also has gravitational pull. And so someone says, why do astronauts float in space but not on Earth? Because there in space, there's not the force of gravity upon them. And so without gravity, nothing will stay on the ground. So hence, in various atmospheres outside of this atmosphere, an astronaut, we can see an astronaut floating, him or her, because the force of gravity is not being enacted against them. But here in this realm, we deal with every day the force of gravity. If I walked and to step off that platform, I'd hit the ground. Unless I was a young man of a few years back, I might hurt myself going off that platform. So why? The law of gravity would come into effect. We had a young man speaking here at a men's conference a couple of years ago. He jumped up in the air and jumped all the way down off the platform. There was a couple of us who looked at each other like, we didn't have to say a word. But what we were really saying with our eyes is, I would never do that. You'd have to be a young man to do that. But so there are these laws that affect us, the law of buoyancy, the law of lift, the law of gravity. And whether or not people know anything about them, these things affect our lives. I've just listed three just for the sake of time. But there are also spiritual laws that affect our lives. And I want to spend the remainder of our time talking about spiritual laws, because as important as natural laws are, spiritual laws are even more important. And sometimes people go their whole lifetime ignorant of spiritual laws. And when you violate these laws, you do so, you don't get the benefit of them when it's something positive. And if you violate these laws, you can actually, something negative can result. So my first point is simply what I shared with you. Spiritual laws govern this world. And my second point is, spiritual laws can be positive and negative. Spiritual laws can be positive or negative. And so the Bible speaks of various spiritual laws, and I want to talk about that. You know, if you go to Genesis 8:22, In the New Living, Genesis 8:22, it says this: as long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. Yeah. You know what that's describing? A law. That's a natural law, right? But that's a law that's in effect, and listen, it works spiritually as well. We were coming home a couple months ago, or at least a month and a half ago, Tony commented. She said, wow, she said, baby, our grass is so green. But she noticed that, she said, well, man, the neighbor's yards haven't come in yet, and our grass is so green. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, I overseeded our yard. I put grass seed down. And plus, I put fertilizer down on top of the grass seed. So I wasn't surprised that it was green. And then one of my other neighbors commented, man, you got your grass so green already. How'd you get your grass so green? Well, I planted seed early and then fertilized that seed. Why? Because there are laws that are in motion, and these spiritual laws work just like natural laws. And so there are laws of sowing and reaping. There are laws of seed time and harvest. And so I want to ask you this, which laws are currently dominating your life? Think about that. Which laws are currently dominating your life? Go with me to Romans chapter 8 in the New American Standard Version, please. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 in the New American Standard Version. It says this, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. That's pretty interesting. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Can I say this to you? If you and I are not experiencing life at the level or at the quality that we want, then we have to examine, is there some spiritual law that we're not following? Is there some spiritual law that we're not enacting? You know, sometimes as it concerns law, like the law of lift, you know, when you get on a plane, the pilots figure out what the plane weighs and how much it takes to get the plane in the air, and they figure out what speed the plane has to be going for the law of lift to operate to lift the plane. And when the plane runs down the runway and when it gets to that speed, one of the pilots says V1 and, you know, they lift the yoke or whatever it is and the plane experiences lift and gets up in the air. Sometimes, though, we as believers go through that same thing and we don't always get the lift we want or the answers that we want. Listen to me. Hang with me. We don't always get the answers that we want because we might not have carried the momentum or followed the spiritual law that's applicable to our situation. We may not have followed it thoroughly, or we may not have followed it with enough momentum, but how many of you know that spiritual laws will work for anybody who employs them? And so the laws of God work so often as in a spiritual format, just like natural laws can work for us and work against us. You know, when something goes wrong with my vehicle or Tony's vehicle, then we run what's called a diagnostic check on it. You know what that is? You ever done that for your car? There's something not running right, and then they run a diagnostic check on it. Somebody said not long ago, well, something was misfiring. Well, okay, they ran a diagnostic check. They could tell which cylinder or which spark plug or whatever it is. I know for when Tony's car goes to the dealership, it's a little different than mine. Her car goes, they take video and pictures. But the guy is out there, he's got a computer, he plugs it into the car, and then the computer tells him exactly what's wrong with it. It's a diagnostic check. Why are you saying that, Brother Bill? Because, you know, there is a similar device that will help you and I with our faith. See, when we're not receiving at the level that we should stop and examine what is it that we're doing or not doing, that would help us to receive at a higher level. And we should be able to examine our faith. We should be able to check up on our faith. We should be able to check up on ourselves. And sometimes as Christians, we just go through the motions. We just run through the motions. So, you know, if we're making our confessions, we just make our confessions. But listen to me. If we're not receiving at the level that we're expecting, we need to check up and see what's going on. Because sometimes there's something else that can be adjusted or something else that can be done that will help us to receive at a higher level. I was with a person many, many years ago. And they asked me to go to a doctor with them, which is something that I typically wouldn't do. And I begged off and told them I'd see them after their doctor's appointment. But it was a very serious situation, they thought, and they asked me to come for moral support. And so I went with them to the doctor, and I'll never forget, that this was many years ago, and the doctor said this. He said, there are certain things that have happened that if you had come to me, we could have fixed it. If we could have spotted this early, and we could have fixed this and taken care of it. And he said, now these things have progressed to a point that it's not fixable. And my, we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And but later that person went to heaven. And I remember some of my conversations with them, and they said they ignored it. They saw signs that they weren't receiving, that something was wrong, that there was something in their faith that wasn't working right. And instead of stopping to check it out, to do a diagnostic check, you said, what? How do we do a diagnostic check? Well, that mechanic, he's got a little black box or a computer that he plugs in. We got one too. It's called the Word of God. And when we plug our faith in here and compare our faith and examine our faith, wow, God can help us every single time. And the point is that there are laws that govern our behavior. There are laws that govern our success or failure. And just as we read there in Romans, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death in Romans 8. In John 10:10 in the Passion Translation, we all know this scripture. John 10:10 in the Passion Translation says this, a thief has only one thing in mind, He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. I am the good shepherd who lays down my life as a sacrifice for the sheep. So the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus operates obviously through the Lord Jesus, and the law of sin and death operates through the devil, through the enemy, through his demons and imps. But the good news is that Christ has freed us from the enemy's influence, and we get to pick what laws are going to operate in our lives. So spiritual laws will determine the quality of our lives. In Romans 3:27, New American Standard, read this with me. Romans 3:27 in the New American Standard. It says this, where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. So there is a law of faith. So let me take this last few moments and talk about this law of faith. Because in Habakkuk 2:4, in Romans 1:17, in Galatians 3:11, in Hebrews 10:38, they all say the same thing. The just shall live by faith. Now, sometimes throughout Christendom, people say things that are unwise, and I understand, I've been there before. Sometimes people say, well, don't tell me anything about that faith business. I don't want to know anything about that faith business. But the Bible says the just shall live by faith. In fact, it's impossible to please God without faith. And so when people say, well, don't tell me anything about faith, well, you know, they're at a point where they just need to learn and grow because they're saying some things that are unwise there, and I understand that. But David operated by faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this, having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. That's 2 Corinthians 4:13. How does the law of faith work? It works by believing and speaking. That's how we all got born again, isn't it? Romans chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. How did we get born again? We got born again by believing in our heart and speaking, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's risen from the dead. Believing in our heart and speaking. Mark 11:22 through 24 reminds us the importance of believing and speaking. The law of faith works that way. And faith for salvation works that same way. Faith for healing works the same way. Faith for finances works the same way. Believing in the heart and speaking with our mouth. Let me finally say that these laws, spiritual laws, can work for us or against us. As we started tonight, I shared a story that I heard Brother Hagin share about a student who went home to be with the Lord. And the Lord told Brother Hagin in explanation that certain spiritual laws had been violated and could not be changed at that time. And sometimes, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews that we inherit God's promises with faith and with patience. With faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. And sometimes when we go through situations, we need time. Sometimes we need time to get into faith. And if somebody's not in faith, hey, get in faith. Do whatever you got to do to get in faith. The best thing to do, of course, is just to be in faith. Amen. The best thing to do is just to be in faith when something's wrong or nothing's wrong. Hey, when nothing's wrong, that's the best time. Build up your faith. Build up your faith. Strengthen yourself in faith. Because sometimes when people go through things, it takes time for them to get into faith and then to use that force of faith in the name of Jesus to resist whatever's attacked them. And so spiritual laws can work for us and work against us if we're not careful. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians 5:6 that faith works by love. So let me say this in close. Number one, if we want to examine our faith, if something's not working right and if we're not receiving at the level we want to receive at, we've got to ask ourselves, is what we're believing for promised to us in God's word? Secondly, we've got to ask ourselves, are we believing in the heart and speaking and confessing with our mouth? Because oftentimes we have to do more confessing because that gives us the momentum like a plane going down the runway. Oftentimes we have to do three times more speaking than we do believing. Are you, thirdly, exercising the fruit of patience? Because as I say, Hebrews 6:12 says, we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. And finally, are we walking in love? Because faith works through love. Galatians 5:6 says that. What are you saying tonight, Brother Bill? I'm saying that we are all impacted by certain spiritual laws, good and bad, thank God. And the level of victory that we're walking in depends upon our understanding and our grasp of the spiritual laws that we're employing. And there are all kinds of spiritual laws that govern your life and my life. But God wants for you and I to overflow in victory. And every now and then, it's necessary for you and I to take a half step back to examine our faith, to examine our confession, to examine our words, to examine our belief system, to examine how we're living our lives, to examine our love walk. Because all of these things can affect certain spiritual laws and cause us to receive at a lesser level when God wants us to overflow at a greater level. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your laws that govern our life, the laws of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of faith, the law of love, all of your spiritual laws. We thank you for every single one of us. And I pray that you'll help us to receive at a higher level than we've known heretofore. Bless, touch your people. Father, where someone may not be receiving, speak to their heart. Encourage them and show them how to change and how to turn that situation around. Father, thank you that we inherit your promises with faith and with patience. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I know this wasn't a rip-rousing amen sermon, but it's a necessary sermon because God wants you and I to receive at a high level. And sometimes there's something we can do that will enhance that. And let's remember to listen to the Holy Spirit when he gives us action plans consistent with spiritual laws in our life. Well, it's always a joy to teach you. Stand up on your feet. We want you to be dismissed. We want you, as you go, to remember to pray for the Hagans. They're getting ready to go on a great trip. Pray for them and keep them in mind. And we'll see you right here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. God bless you, everyone.